Niedermeyer looked at Castillo for guidance. "He works for General McNabb, Randy," General Crenshaw said. "At the moment, he's not wearing his uniform. When Castillo was here the last time, neither was he. He told me he was in the Secret Service. Mysterious, indeed, are the ways of the Special Operations Command and those in it."
"Well, now that that's out in the open," General Wilson said, "am I sticking my nose in where it's not particularly welcome?"
"No, sir, not at all," Castillo said. "I'm scrounging things for General McNabb, but if you're free, I'd love to buy you and your bride dinner tonight." "Beth and her mother are at this moment preparing dinner," Richardson said. "She said she couldn't remember the last time she saw you."
"Odd. I remember it with great clarity."
"The invitation, of course, includes you and Mrs. Crenshaw, General," Richardson went on. "And you, Mr. Niedermeyer."
"I don't want to intrude, Richardson," General Crenshaw said.
"It wouldn't be an intrusion at all, sir, and it would give you and the General more time together."
Crenshaw looked at Castillo to see what he should do. "And you and I could talk about the terrible things we had to do as aides-de-camp to difficult generals, General," Castillo said, then smiled.
"Who was yours?" Crenshaw said.
"Bruce J. McNabb."
"I didn't know that," Crenshaw said. "I'd love to hear what that was like." "Yes, Colonel Richardson, Mrs. Crenshaw and I gratefully accept your kind invitation to dinner."
"General Crenshaw, could I have a moment of your and Randy's time?" Castillo asked.
"Certainly."
Crenshaw led them to the pilot's lounge, politely asked the two pilots there if they would mind giving them a few minutes alone, and then looked at Castillo.
"This operation is highly classified, sir," Castillo said. "The fewer people who know I'm here, or have been here, the better. What I need is 4 H-model Hueys for an operation."
"What kind of an operation?" Richardson interrupted.
"If you don't know that, Randy," Castillo said somewhat impatiently, "then you can truthfully swear that I didn't tell you what I wanted them for."
"Of all the light colonels at Rucker, I get Righteous Randolph?"
Richardson nodded his understanding.
"They have to have GPS," Castillo went on, "and they have to be in very good shape. And, I have to tell you, you probably won't get them back."
Righteous's jaw just now about bounced off the tiled floor.
"We have been directed to give Colonel Castillo whatever he asks for, and that he has the highest priority," General Crenshaw said.
"How do we explain your presence if someone recognizes you?" Richardson asked.
"The cover story is that I'm an executive assistant to the Secretary of Homeland Security, and that I'm here because this was the most convenient place for me to come and rent a light aircraft. I'll get to that in a minute. And fly to Pass Christian, Mississippi, on a mission for the Secretary."
"Two things, Castillo," General Crenshaw said. "That area was badly mauled by Hurricane Katrina. I don't know if any fields down there are open. Have you considered a Black Hawk?"
"There's an airstrip where I'm going. It's open, and a light airplane will attract less attention than an Army helicopter. Niedermeyer went on the internet and found a Cessna 206H available for charter at the airport in Ozark."
"The flying hearse,"
Crenshaw interrupted, chuckling.
"Sir?"
Crenshaw smiled, then explained.
"Actually, it's a T-206H, turbocharged. The fellow who owns the funeral home is a flying enthusiast. Flying is expensive. That airplane cost more than $250,000. But he thought he had the solution. If he had an airplane, he could fly cadavers to where they were going to be buried and charge the same thing airlines do, twice the price of the most expensive first-class ticket. That would be a substantial contribution to the cost of his hobby. He was so enthusiastic that he didn't check to see if a coffin would fit in the airplane. They don't. So, it is reliably reported he transports, in, of course, the dead of night, so to speak, the cadavers in body bags, strapped into a seat, and has a casket waiting wherever he's going. I know him. I can call and set that up for you if you'd like. You can fly a 206?
I can fly a 182 in a Citation, Castillo said. Will that work?
I don't think that will be a problem, Crenshaw said. But he'll probably want to ride around the pattern with you. Anything else?
There will be pilots and crew chiefs coming here from the 160th at Fort Campbell.
General McNabb told me, Crenshaw said, and looked at his aide. Find accommodations for them, Richardson. They should start arriving tomorrow. 8 pilots and 4 crew chiefs.
Yes, sir, Richardson said. And some supplies from Fort Bragg, Castillo added, which will have to be stored somewhere secure until they can be loaded on the Hueys.
What kind of supplies?
Richardson asked. The kind that needs some place secure to store them, Castillo said, pointedly avoiding details.
General McNabb said they're coming by truck tonight, Crenshaw said to Richardson. They'll probably be here by morning. Have the truck put in the MP impound lot until you can make better arrangements in the morning. And make sure the MPs are guarding the impound lot.
Yes, sir, Richardson said. And as soon as possible, Niedermeyer has to get his radio up, Castillo said. He saw the questioning look on Crenshaw's face. It's in the suitcase, Castillo said, nodding at it. It doesn't take long, but I'd rather not do it here.
May I ask what kind of a radio?
Richardson asked. I am tempted to tell you none of your fucking business, but resuming hostilities with you, Righteous, would be counterproductive. It's a rather amazing system developed by AFC, Castillo said. Bounces signals, voice and data, both really deeply encrypted, off satellites. When we get to Magnolia House, I'll show you how it works.
I'd like to see that, Crenshaw said. I just thought of something. How are you going to pay for the flying hearse?
American Express, Castillo said, reaching for his wallet. Never leave home without it. He took his Amex card from his wallet and handed it to Crenshaw, who examined it. He then looked at Castillo.
The Lorimer Charitable and Benevolent Fund? The general said.
Castillo nodded and grinned.
Yes, sir. I won't ask what that is, the general went on, but will simply repeat what I said before, that mysterious indeed are the ways of the Special Operations Command and those in it.
He paused.
I can call from the car on the way to the post if you'd like. I'm driving my own car, but Richardson's got a van.
I'll be damned if I'm stuck riding the bus with Righteous.
If you have room in your car, and I'm not an imposition, that'd be great, sir, Castillo said.
Thank you.